Does your health routine for the new year include eye care? Well, now that you can use your renewed vision benefits, it's easy to add it to the routine. Visit pearlvision.com and schedule exams for the whole family. They work with all major vision plans, including EyeMed, and they'll cover your cost of insurance, copay, or eye exam. Valid prescription required. Valid at participating locations. Restrictions apply. Taxes extra. See store for details. Ends 3/31/2023. Exams available at the independent doctor of optometry at or next to Pearle Vision. Some doctors employed by Pearle Vision.
Businesses need to think beyond today. That's why ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help your business find more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
Here's something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
This is a Signal Storm podcast.
You all know I'm a sci-fi fan, and I don't always bring up, actually I rarely bring up, in our discussions of subject matter, I don't bring up Star Wars or sci-fi when I'm talking about serious stuff. I just typically don't. But there, this particular case, I think I'm going to make an exception because this podcast is dedicated to something that has been on my mind since it afflicted us here in the great state of Texas, and that is the power situation. Barack Hussein Obama screwed us over big time, ladies and gentlemen, screwed us over, and 250 Texans paid with their lives because of it. Let me explain what I'm talking about, then I'll get to the Star Wars stuff. Barack Hussein Obama, back in, I think it was 2015, he passed this green energy boondoggle BS. Basically, what he did is he dedicated a whole bunch of money, taxpayers' dollars, to perverting the market and making solar and wind energy competitive, and actually more than competitive. He actually dried up all incentives, dried up all investment into reliable, clean sources of energy like natural gas. And because Barack Hussein Obama did this, Snowmageddon back in 2021, Snowmageddon hit the great state of Texas. They said a once-in-a-hundred-year storm. I'll get more into that in a minute. But the entire state of Texas was frozen solid. You know, more of that man-made global warming stuff. And we had become so reliant on wind and solar that when the ice storm hit, guess what happened to the wind turbines? They froze over and weren't turning. Even when the winds are blowing like crazy, they wouldn't turn because they were frozen solid. What happened to the solar panels and all the solar farms? Well, since the sun wasn't shining and the panels were covered with ice, they weren't producing any power. And as a result, the Texas power grid nearly collapsed. Nearly collapsed. Rolling blackouts. My family and I sat and froze our asses off for 4 days. In the middle of a first world country, in the middle of a storm, because Texas couldn't keep the lights on because so many Texans had gotten the easy Barack Hussein Obama money. 250 Texans paid with their lives for all that easy money. So when that happened, we were assured by the state government, by the legislature, this was going to get taken care of. This was a top priority for everybody. And then another cold snap happened around Christmas of this last year, of 2022. And guess what? Two cities in the state of Texas couldn't get natural gas. Why? Because the wellheads froze over again. So they were without natural gas in the middle of a cold snap. Then another incident, just recently, this latest cold snap, we find out that even though the state of Texas had reserve power, we were never in any danger of losing power, that 96% of our state's power generation during this last cold snap was being generated by reliable thermal energy, either coal or natural gas or nuclear. Okay? Because, again, guess what happened? The windmills froze solid and the solar panels were covered with ice. And the sun wasn't shining, so they weren't generating any power. So this stuff's all happening after Snowmageddon. And here's where Star Wars comes in. The scene is in the Millennium Falcon, the cockpit, in The Empire Strikes Back. And they try to go to hyperspace, to the hyperdrive, to engage it, to get away from the Empire. And guess what? For the third or fourth time in the movie, the hyperdrive doesn't work. And Lando Calrissian, played by Billy Dee Williams, you're going to be hearing him say, "Wait a minute. They fixed it. They told me they fixed it." And this is exactly what the state government of Texas told us. They fixed it. They fixed it.
They told me they fixed it. I trusted them to fix it. It's not my fault.
Yeah, I trusted them to fix it. It's not my fault. That's what they're all saying. Why is this so hard? And why can't we get a solution? A friend of mine in the journalistic ranks at the Texan.news, shows up next to tell us why on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Did you know drag shows for kids are being normalized in Texas? Sexualizing Texas children is happening right now, and you can learn how it affects our state by going to TexasScorecard.com today. Get real news for real Texans.
Folks, I want to welcome on our guest, Brad Johnson. He's a reporter for the Texan.news, the Texan.news. He's an Ohio native who is an avid sports fan and reports on energy, politics, and fiscal issues. Mr. Johnson, I think this is the first time on the podcast in the new year, so welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Chris.
Okay. First thing I want to talk about is an article that popped up on Texas Scorecard, because it's right in your bailiwick. This was by our buddy Brandon Waltons. And as most Texans continue to experience freezing temperatures, and we're coming out of this last bout of wicked winter weather, the underperforming unreliable energy sources like wind and solar are once again raising questions about the state's dependence on them. And he pulls up this screen grab of exactly how much power is being generated by reliable thermal and nuclear generation, and how much power is being generated by, you know, the Green New Deal garbage. And it tells the story, man. Solar, 1.7% of our total needs. Wind, 3.1%. Overwhelming majority, 96% of our power needs when the weather gets bad are met by nuclear, natural gas, and coal. And this is a reality that our legislature and our politicians don't want to accept.
Well, we've seen this entire week. The cold front moved in, and that caused issues with wind and solar. The overcast and the precipitation out in West Texas caused issues for solar, blocking the sun. And then about 10,000 megawatts, according to the Public Utility Commission, about 10,000 megawatts of wind generation out in West Texas just flat out iced up. And so, that picture you painted has been illustrated this entire week. It's been basically thermal generation providing at or above 90% of the total capacity online this entire week. Luckily, there's been no power grid issues, because natural gas, coal, and nuclear have been able to keep up with demand easily. There's been between 6,000 and 10,000 megawatts of surplus electricity generation capacity online on the ERCOT market this entire week. So luckily not a repeat of 2021.
Right, the Snowmageddon. But our last bout around Christmas time with winter weather saw a couple of communities, again, being denied natural gas because our infrastructure they're not paying attention to it. So they were out of natural gas in the middle of a cold snap. That is just after everything we've been through, isn't that unacceptable?
Yeah, and I think you've seen state officials realize that over the last 2 years. Now, whether they can actually fix that, solve that issue is an entirely different story. That's something they are hoping to remedy with these ERCOT market reforms that I'm sure we'll discuss. But ultimately, you know, when you have a state as large as Texas, growing as much as Texas, the electricity demand and the demand for natural gas for heating homes is continuously going to rise. And so something is really going to need to be done in order to fix this. This constant butting of heads between demand for these commodities and the ability to supply them.
Brandon Johnson, our guest right now, the Texan.news. He's a reporter who reports on politics, fiscal issues, and as you can hear, energy issues, of which we have some serious energy issues in the state of Texas. Now, look, Brad, I came out after Snowmageddon and said, look, I'm a simple guy. I like to simplify things. And I know it's not this simple, but it should, in my mind, it should be. If I were a dictator, it would be. We need to have a thermal generation that generates 110% of our power needs, meaning a base load capacity of power we can turn on and off plus 10% to meet our needs. And granted, we have thousands and thousands of people coming in every month into the state of Texas. But as those needs increase, we need to start getting, in my view, natural gas power plants online. I'm not a big fan of coal. Some people believe that coal can be made clean. I don't think we need it. We have natural gas. It's abundant. It is inexpensive because it's abundant. It's clean. So the environmentalist whack jobs shouldn't have a problem, even though they do, shouldn't have a problem with it. But for some stinking reason, this state refuses, absolutely refuses, to go after our natural resources. So I'm going to start here before I get to your article, because I got to be honest with you, man, it confused the hell out of me. It just really did. So let me just start here. What is wrong with base load capacity plus 10% and have the wind and solar there just as kind of nice to haves, unreliable, but kind of nice to haves?
Well, the reason that hasn't happened is that ERCOT's market is this thing called energy only, meaning that you get paid for generating electricity after you generate it, paid for what you produce. Now, the reason that was implemented at the turn of the century is that with an eye towards reducing electricity costs, and it worked for a long time. But with that, it is built on price incentives. And over the last 20 years, the incentives to build natural gas generation, or even for a time coal, have disappeared. And that the reason that is largely because of federal tax credits that have made it a lot more economically friendly towards wind and solar generation. These companies can break even selling electricity, these wind and solar places can, at negative prices. And so that's an advantage that they have in the markets, and that crowds out the development of especially natural gas generation.
Well, hold on a minute. Yeah. So that was all Barack Obama's doing. Barack Hussein Obama took our taxpayer dollars and said, I want to use government to create a false market, which is what he did. He created a false market for China produced solar panels and non-biodegradable bladed windmills. So he created a false market by basically dedicating taxpayer dollars and making people filthy rich for dedicating their properties to that endeavor, while at the same time ignoring a plentiful, powerful, and clean-burning energy source like natural gas. Why is Texas confined to following Barack Hussein Obama's lead when it was clearly an agenda that's political, clearly an agenda to transfer wealth and power out of the hands of traditional conservatives who are pro-business into the hands of Marxist-Leninists? Why do we have to abide by that?
Well, just based on the tax credits, the amount of tax credits coming in, it's not just federal. There are some local ones. For example, up until the turn of this year, there was Chapter 313 abatements, and we saw wind and solar generators benefiting from that quite a bit. But because it's nominally a competitive market, it's all about creating these incentives that down the road allow these companies to invest in whatever is working at the moment, and working financially, of course. And because Congress just extended the production tax credit, because of that financial advantage they get from that, they're able to build so much more wind and solar. Now, that said, Texas officials have been wide open, basically encouraging wind and solar development, because it brings with it some investment. But the tricky thing is, how do you get from point A, where we currently are, to point B, when none of the math adds up for building new natural gas generation? Then you add the fact that the federal government is throwing its entire treasury at the problem, not the entire thing, but a substantial amount of money, and one state's officials are trying to figure out a way to counteract that. That's a big thing to go up against, and frankly, I don't think they've figured out how to go about doing that.
Right. I mean, I guess it's all very simple to say we just won't participate, but legally you can't stop individuals from partaking in that kind of commerce. Brad Johnson is our guest. It's government incentives. Brad Johnson is a reporter with the Texan.news. He covers a lot of things, including energy. But before I get into your article, and you can tell why I'm avoiding it, because I just didn't understand it. I really did. And it wasn't your fault. You explained everything adequately. I just don't. It's hard for me to figure out who the bad guys are in this and who's standing in the way of what I consider progress. So I'm hoping you can untangle that for me. Has it occurred to anybody in the state of Texas and our leadership that solar panels, from the time the materials are taken out of the ground through production to when they go bad in 30 years, that it's a toxic process every step of the way, that it contaminates the water table, that they're dangerous chemicals? Has anybody considered any of that with these solar panels?
I mean, there's certainly some people that have. I haven't heard a lot of talk about it, though, and it's generally not something that's that discussed at the highest levels of government.
But it's true.
Tend to focus. Yeah, it is true. You know, like, you hear all these, especially the environmental left, talk about how damaging these thermal sources are to the environment, but then you have these massive strip mines, especially in like third world countries, mining these special minerals to create the solar panels and the metals necessary to create these wind turbines. That then take wind turbines, for example, in Casper, Wyoming, there's a giant graveyard of wind turbine blades that are no longer useful. And so, I mean, you're right that the waste of these generation sources is not really discussed that much.
Nope.
Other than by, you know, people like you.
Yeah, the windmill blades, folks, are non-biodegradable. They're poisoning the earth, and that's how you save the earth, according to a liberal socialist Democrat. The solar panels are toxic from mining to production to them being thrown out, and that's how you save the earth. The lithium batteries that they're trying to push on us that our grids can't handle. The lithium batteries, it costs more to recycle one than it does to produce one. So you're not going to get any recycling, and there is not enough raw earth materials on the planet to generate even one generation of electric vehicles that are operated on those lithium battery technologies, much less multiple generations. But nobody wants to talk about, you know, math or physics. Everybody wants to talk about, oh, Mother Earth, we're saving the planet, and all of this money that's being flung at it. And again, it's nonsensical. It makes no sense to anybody who's scientific or who's paying attention. So, Brad, that leads me to your article, and let me give it the proper due. This is Public Utility Commission settles on ERCOT market redesign plan. Legislators, though, push back. This was a January 20th article. The 18-month-long process only partially reached resolution this week, but still has five-month-long runway as the legislature weighs in. That's an allusion to session. So as the best you can, tell us, I guess we should start, what ERCOT and the PUC and their job is, what they're proposing, and why the legislature says, nah.
Yeah, so the first phase of this ERCOT shakeup occurred back in 2021, and that was the physical reforms, you know, the weatherization that we've heard a lot about.
Right.
But the second part is a redesign of this market that I discussed earlier, that it's based on these price incentives. And the whole goal is to create the environment necessary that will then allow natural gas generation specifically to be developed organically. That may not happen. We have heard Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick talk about how this development might need to be subsidized. But this specific redesign that the PUC is considering is aimed at building more dispatchable down the road. And the plan that they have at least tentatively settled on right now is called the performance credit mechanism. Basically, that is financial rewards for companies who generate electricity during times of high grid stress, whether it's high demand or a situation where we all of a sudden don't have windmills blowing, and then the margin between supply and demand wanes. So for companies that show up and generate during those times, they would then get financial rewards. Now, that's betting that these companies will then take that money that they get and use it to construct more dispatchable generation because it's profitable, or incentivizing these companies to build more dispatchable generation currently in the hopes that they then make the profits that they need to justify the investment down the road. And so they're betting on this being able to supply that necessary financial incentive. Will it do that? There's a lot of debate. There's a lot of debate that it won't. The legislators are very concerned about the plan as it currently sits. The plan as it sits without further input from them.
Mm-hmm.
Governor Abbott came out and said that basically, telling the PUC to get on with it. We've been considering this for 18 months. We need to shake this up now. Let's get it going. We don't need to wait for the legislature. But the legislature pushed back on that, both in the House and the Senate. And so there's a lot of different ideas floating around on this. And still, like I said in the article, no resolution. And
what
I don't
about,
know if we will have one.
What about the Obama money? Because now the Obama money, we have a new Republican Congress. Could they, as part of a must-pass bill on Capitol Hill, could they include in the wind and solar natural gas, as it is clean burning, it is abundant, and it is powerful, and it has a negligible impact on the environment, could they slip that in?
Technically, yeah, they could do that. That is feasible. Congress just extended the production tax credit for 10 years during the Infrastructure Act that was recently passed.
Oh my gosh!
For them to slip it in, you know, that would require some sort of compromise. And something that comes to mind that occurred with that, ironically, between former President Obama and then Speaker of the House Paul Ryan, was removing the oil export ban. And that opened up especially Texas's oil and gas industry to a lot of different other places for purchasing it. It basically revved up the energy boom in Texas because we had a lot more places that could purchase our oil.
Now they could write an amendment that would say this amends the what is the name of that 10-year renewal, the legislation that was originally
production tax credit.
Yeah. Okay. This amends the production tax credit to also include natural gas as part of either a continuing resolution or as part of a debt ceiling deal. They could slip that in there. And that brings me to the administration's war on gas stoves. This is crazy, but I think I know what it is. They see natural gas as I said, clean, which satisfies their environmental whack job base, but it's also American, which they don't like. It's also powerful, which they don't like, and it also creates jobs and economic prosperity in America, which they don't like. So this is why Democrats are saying, "Oh, you can't have natural gas." Well, wait a minute. It satisfies all your criteria. It's abundant. It's inexpensive. It helps the poor, and it's clean. It has a negligible impact on the environment. Has anybody talked about it in quite the way you and I are?
Yeah, I'm sure there are a lot of Republicans. You know, one that comes to mind on the federal side is Congressman Chip Roy. I know he's discussed this a lot. I just am not sure how feasible that is right now. Democrats control the Senate and the presidency, although it is a slim margin in the Senate, but it's tenuous at best. And so that's why I bring up the oil export ban compromise, because that's the only way they could get it across the line. And in exchange for it, that was done in exchange for some renewable type benefits. And so this passed during the Infrastructure Act, when that was passed, they actually extended the production tax credit. It used to only be for wind. Now it's also for solar.
Yeah.
So we're going to see a lot more solar investment because that incentive is there. And I'm not sure that Congress is, at least right now, up for, you know, doing what you're asking.
Yeah, and more Texans will die because we have this unreliable power generation. That's how we started the article. And more Texans will die when the weather gets bad. Brad Johnson is our guest. The Texan.news, the name of the article: Public Utility Commission settles on ERCOT market redesign plan. Legislators push back. So you've been covering this a while. Who has the high ground here? Who has the best plan in your estimation that has A, support, and B, has the right juice to get exactly what it is we need?
Well, right now the performance credit mechanism is the only plan that is out there. The lieutenant governor has, as I mentioned before, has talked about possibly subsidizing, but somehow developing dispatchable power, but there aren't many details, and the most detailed one is what the PUC has put out. So I've heard also other plans that are not that don't seem to be really supported by leadership at the moment, by the big state officials. One of those was Representative Charles Cunningham, back when he was running for state rep last year. He's advocated this firming requirement, which is something I've heard discussed before. And basically that would require these renewable companies to, quote, firm up their generation by having on-site thermal generation, whether it's natural gas hookup, on-site storage, or coal even. That is some way to counteract the costs or the financial disadvantage, the quote market distortion that we're seeing from this production tax credit and other financial incentives.
All right. Let me understand.
Yeah,
I just want to understand, to pick your brain on what you just said. So you're telling me that there could be legislation passed in Texas that says, fine, you can go ahead and take advantage of Barack Hussein Obama's boondoggle, but if you do, you have to have a commensurate, either a reliable form of power generation. We recommend natural gas, but it can be coal or nuclear.
I wouldn't go so far as to say I think there will be legislation passed, but the idea has been suggested.
Yeah.
And it has definitely been discussed by the agency, by legislators, but I have seen no traction for something like that. And actually, Governor Greg Abbott, back in July 2021, issued this letter where he talked about these more market kind of reforms that need to be done in addition to what was just passed in the weatherization omnibus bill. And so in that included the idea of sticking renewable generators with reliability costs. And that's essentially what I'm talking about with this firming requirement. But it really hasn't gained any traction. The governor has not mentioned it publicly. Now, it doesn't mean it's not being talked about behind the scenes.
Right.
But it's not, so far it's not been the handpicked.
I like that. I like that idea because as the, right back to where we first started our conversation, Brad, that here we have wind and solar, 10,000 megawatts offline, right? Did I have the number right? 10,000 megawatts offline because of
wind, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because the wind doesn't always blow and the sun doesn't always shine. A third grader knows that. So if you do partake in this business from the federal government, you are going to be required to maintain your power commitment with the unreliable power. You're going to have the ability to generate reliable power when your turbines freeze up or when the sun goes down or there's a cloudy day.
That's the idea of it, yeah. And I think there is, you suggested earlier, like, why can't Texas just say, no, we don't want this federal incentive? I don't think that's possible because Texas cannot control what the federal government does. But this is a way to accomplish kind of the same thing, but doing it but flipping it on its head, basically.
Yeah, we make Barack Obama's ruining of the free market, we make it such a poisoned pill that nobody can take advantage of it in Texas.
That would be the idea, and unfortunately, for those who support that plan, it's not gained a lot of traction, at least that I've seen so far.
Well, I like that idea. I really like that idea because, Brad, I don't know if I told you the story. I was talking to a lawmaker who had a buddy. It was a fellow lawmaker, and they're talking about ways to incentivize natural gas production. And one lawmaker says to the other on a local level, I'm sorry, I can't back that initiative. And he said, well, why not? I mean, this is the year following Snowmageddon. He says, because my neighbor, you see, has a whole bunch of acreage and he's getting federal tax dollars and he's making a whole bunch of money. So I can't do anything that would harm my neighbor's ability to make money. And I sat there shaking my head saying, yeah, so let's go ahead and let Texans die so your neighbor can make money. I mean, this is how these people think.
And I have seen a lot of a kind of change in temperament towards renewable power since 2021. Before it was, oh yes, bring it all on. We, you know, Texas is the energy capital of the world. We want all of it, everything. And there's still we want the all of the above approach. But there's a lot more discussion about, well, this all of the above approach has kind of come at the expense of especially natural gas and coal generation. And while certain plans have not, you know, materialized, at least so far, Governor Abbott, Lieutenant Governor Patrick, I think even Speaker Phelan has talked about this. There is the broad understanding that the way it currently is operating is not going to suit the state of Texas. And what that eventually meters out to in terms of policy, I'm not sure. But they are recognizing the issue, and we'll see how close they get on it.
And not to put a so diplomatic point on it, people are going to die. More people are going to die if it doesn't get fixed. And I think this is the reality that the top three state leaders are forced to reckon with. Brad Johnson, everybody. He's a reporter for the Texan.News, He's an Ohio native, avid sports fan, and he reports there at the Texan for energy, politics, and fiscal issues. Sir, thank you very much. Appreciate the time, as always, on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
That there's going to do it, folks, for this edition of the Salcedo Storm podcast. You folks in Texas have really got to be calling up your legislators. This should not be that hard. There is a standard you must live up to. And folks, the more I listen to that idea of requiring these individuals who are taking the easy Obama money to put Texas lives at risk. Okay, you can go ahead and do that, but you must have reliable power generation to equal your so-called output from the Obama crap. So while you're making all your money from Obama, you can invest it into natural gas, which is reliable, clean burning, and is the bridge fuel into the next century, into next generation technologies for energy in the United States. I love that idea. Folks, pay a visit to TexasScorecard.com, TexasScorecard.com. They cover energy issues extensively there as well. Also pay a visit to the Chris Salcedo Show's web presence, and that is at ChrisSalcedo.com. Chris Salcedo Show's at KSEV, The Voice of Texas, and on Newsmax TV. All the information is located there, and our social media hookups. And yes, I finally broke down and got us onto Instagram, so we are on Instagram as well. Folks, until we visit again, remember this: a society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government, but rather how much power is reserved for you and me. In short, we the people. See ya.
Does your health routine for the new year include eye care? Well, now that you can use your renewed vision benefits, it's easy to add it to the routine. Visit pearlvision.com and schedule exams for the whole family. They work with all major vision plans, including EyeMed, and they'll cover your cost of insurance, copay, or eye exam. Valid prescription required. Valid at participating locations. Restrictions apply. Taxes extra. See store for details. Ends 3/31/2023. Exams available at the independent doctor of optometry at or next to Pearl Vision. Some doctors employed by Pearl Vision.
If you need to know the law to advance your career in the healthcare industry, but you aren't a lawyer, we can help. At Texas A&M School of Law, we offer a Master of Legal Studies with a focus on health law policy and management. It's specifically designed to help non-lawyers like you navigate the legal issues facing this heavily regulated industry. Gain the legal skills you need to advance your healthcare career from one of the most respected law schools in the nation. Visit law.tamu.edu/MLS to learn more.